1. 5 months later. I'm packed in tightly among motionless bodies with barely any room to breathe. I tell myself to relax. I'm only going to be on the tracks for a little while longer, 15 minutes tops, if the Inner Sector Express line doesn't have any delays. I try to ignore the harsh chill coming through the vents of the air purification unit just above my seat. The cold bites at the skin on my bare legs. An eerie silence hovers in the train as the 100 or so people crammed into the seats sit perfectly still, their heads bobbing to the side and their eyes covered by sleek, one-size-fits-all visors. Apparently, I'm the only one aware of the cold or the large clusters of synthetic oil refineries whizzing by at 200 miles per hour outside my sludge-streaked window. The only one worrying about things, like whether or not I passed my chem exam this morning. The rest of my fellow travelers are all someplace else. A world with no pain, no concerns, and no stress. An enchanting, make-believe world that exists solely in their minds. I could escape along with them if I wanted, but I haven't been to Illusions since late December. Not even for a quick zip trip, like these people are having. Actually, I'm not sure I'll ever use my equip again. The connecting car door slides open, and a concession salesperson, a thin, gray-haired woman in a blue and red uniform, begins to make her way up the aisle. She's carrying a medium-sized square cooler, her eyes scanning for signs of life in this crowd of zonked-out Illusion users.
"Huh, you're awake," she says to me with surprise.
"Shocking, isn't it?"
"Very. I'm so used to seeing everyone with their equips."
The woman leans over, opening the top of the cooler to reveal an assortment of junk food and beverages.
"It's nice talking to someone for a change. See anything you'd like?"
I spy a pack of triple flavor shifting gum, and my mouth waters almost instantly. "I'll have one of those," I say, pointing to a small box marked Citrus Mint Dark Chocolate.
"That'll be 15 credits," she says.
I grab my bag and rifle through the contents to find my pass card. In an effort to hurry things up, I dump my bag out on my lap. Lately, I've been so disorganized and distracted. I just can't lose my pass card. If I don't find it, I'll probably get kicked off the train. I also won't be able to buy anything, get into school, or unlock the front door at home. It's the key to everything. "I haven't bought any quip yet," the salesperson carries on, oblivious to the fact that I'm becoming more flustered by the second. "But my grandkids can't get enough of it. They're always telling me about their adventures. My grandson said he went rafting last week in an adventure escape," she says proudly. "My other grandkids live in D.C. They're so jealous. Can't get Illusion there, at least not yet." Thank God I finally find my pass card. Stupid thing was hiding under my O2 shield. "Here you go, sorry." The woman takes the card and scans it, then hands it back to me, along with the pack of gum I just purchased. She also continues to ramble like someone who hasn't had a real conversation in months. "That Patrick Simmons kid is going to be a zillionaire when the CIT approval comes through. I don't want to even think about how old he was when he invented Illusion."
"He didn't invent it," I correct her.
"David Welch did." The woman raises a curious eyebrow.
"Wait a minute. I think I heard about him on the news a while back. Hypersore accident, right?"
I nod my head and avert my eyes. I avoid discussing my dad with my mother or Patrick as much as possible, so I'm certainly not going to turn all chatty with some stranger on the tracks. What a way to go, burning up in the atmosphere like that. The saleswoman leans her upper arm against the headrest of a man sitting on the end of the opposite aisle, and he doesn't even flinch.
No pain, though. I'm sure that's a comfort to his family.
Oh, God. I dig my fingernails into my hand, hoping the sting and pressure in my palms will distract me. I will not cry. I will not cry. I will not cry. All of a sudden, the tracks lose speed, causing everyone to lurch forward in their seats. A robotic-sounding voice notifies passengers of a stalled turbo train on the T-line, the central connection for the entire transport system. The saleswoman mutters something about how awful all this construction is on the tracks and curses some guy in charge of the expansion program before stalking away, leaving me alone as she moves down the aisle and into another car.